We have been dealing with Bible characters this week that will help us build our character. We've talked about a man by the name of Barnabas, and we looked at Caleb, and we looked last night at Onesiphorus, and tonight a woman in the Old Testament by the name of Esther. And these are just a few of the many Bible characters that will help us in a good way to mold and to shape, to build our character to the extent that God would have us to be. This being the last night, however, for me, I want to say this. As wonderful as these characters are, as godly as these characters are, none of these, for us, is our hope or our answer for the promise and provision of heaven. Even the Apostle Paul, and I will tell you, you think it's hard for me to resist preaching about Caleb. The Apostle Paul is a favorite of mine. I really can't relate to him, to be quite honest. His zeal, his courage, his perseverance. But even the Apostle Paul, having said, imitate me, the point was, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes unto God the Father except through me. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is our only answer to the sin problem that plagues us all. Without Him, we could not have had the forgiveness of our sins, and we would not have hope of everlasting life. Jesus is our life source. And so He would say, abide in me, for without me you can do nothing. He would say, I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. And so what I want to do on this last night, even thinking about Esther, I want all of us to appreciate that we need to be looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so Jesus Himself said, if you desire to come after me, you have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross daily and follow me, Jesus says. And that follow Jesus has always been a call for a decision, and has always required action on our part. Making the right choice, going the right direction with Jesus in our vision at every turn. And in following Jesus, we will have to stand up, we will have to stand out, we will have to stand firm. We will have to speak out about what's worth living for and be willing to stand up for the very one who's worth dying for. And all of these characters modeled that for us. But Esther, oh, the power of one to shape and mold and impact so many lives for good. Good evening and welcome to those, especially tonight, that are visitors. And I must say to you, those who have been here more than just one night, that says, I believe, something about you, your respect for the one who invited you, your love and appreciation for the one who extended the invitation in your direction. But also, I believe it says something about the way you feel about God and the way you feel about His Word. And for that, I'm encouraged. And I thank you. I want to say just a few things to this local church. You know, I trust you know how I feel about you. And like that, it would be very easy for me to begin to say some things and more than I would say. And that's really not why I'm here, but I do want to say to you how much I appreciate and love you in the Lord for who you are and what you have been doing in this place for a long, long time. I could say a lot about my respect for you and my love for you for how you've treated my parents. But my love and respect for you because I believe you love the Lord and you want to serve the Lord and you want to be faithful to His cause. And that encourages my folks as you work together. I'm encouraged by your kindness as usual. You feed me and you feed me well. You speak to me kindly. You're courteous. You're respectful. You're encouraging. And that means so much to preachers. It helps us. We try to preach better because of it. And I could say some things about Stephan and want to say some things about Stephan. This was the first time I had met Stephan. But I've heard a lot of good things about him, and I understand now why. He's a good man. He's a humble man. I'm glad he's here. And I know you're glad he's here. And he's glad he's here. And so I commend you all to God and what you're trying to do. To hold up one another's hands in the greatest cause, and really the only cause that matters, and that's the cause of Jesus Christ. And thank you so very, very much. The song leaders. We preach better when the singing's better. And your two song leaders and other song leaders that you have here. That's a gift. And I'm glad these men use it to serve the Lord. May God help us all. The song that we sang earlier this week has these words. Rise up, old child of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O child of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequaled to the task. Rise up and make her great. Isn't that a challenge? It's a challenge for me. I trust it's a challenge for you. It's a challenge for us all to rise up and to make a difference for good. And I'm thankful for those places where I go. I'm thankful, as I said, for this local family in Jesus Christ that labors together. And that's the way God says it ought to be in His church, in His kingdom. His people working together. But you know there are people in difficult places that at times feel like maybe they're all alone in the cause of right. Maybe they're the only one. And they face days that are difficult for them because they feel somewhat alone. I'm not saying it's the reality. I'm not saying that that's really how it is. Perhaps sometimes that's how we see things. Even the prophets of God felt that way, that they were the only one left. And I think sometimes our struggle is we wonder if one can make a difference for good for a whole lot of people with the help of God. One of my favorite movies is the movie Apollo 13. At the end of the movie, the lives of three astronauts in a spaceship are far from Earth, and they hang in the balance. Most of all, NASA's engineers were now finding themselves in the life-saving business. Fear was taking over. They were losing hope. And I'll never forget the scene. The character in the movie is played by Ed Harris. And Ed Harris straightens up and he squares his shoulders and he says, and I quote, "To the contrary, team, with all due respect, I believe this will be our finest hour." And all through the movie, Harris's character maps out the various problems that the team needs to work together to solve. And then he says at one point to the NASA team, "Failure is not an option." And he wipes his forehead. And as moviegoers begin to witness the NASA team working together, sweating together, working together more, all the while Harris is pushing them forward to hold out hope because he believes this will be their finest hour. And upon reentry, Apollo loses radio contact for about 4 minutes. Life and death are on the line. The whole world holds its breath. Will the Apollo crew make it home? And finally, out of the silence, amid a rumbling of static, a voice is heard. "This is Apollo." And I don't know about you, but I'm of the opinion that was, on that day, their finest hour. I don't know when will be your finest hour. I'm not even saying it will be just one. But I believe we all will have our finest hour, that hour of decision, that hour of crisis, where our faith rises to the top and our hope takes over and our mouth opens and our feet move to action. And our decision not only impacts us, but it impacts others for good. It may be for you this month. It may be for you sometime this year. I don't know when it will be. And when I think of the courage it takes to rise up and to demonstrate what we ought to demonstrate as the people of God, when I think about courage connecting itself with the right convictions, I think of Esther. When you read the book of Esther, 10 chapters, it doesn't take you long. When you read the book of Esther, if a Bible student, you've read it before, what you have noticed is what I have noticed every time I read the book of Esther. And I read it again this morning. God's not on one page in the book of Esther mentioned by name. But He's involved in the whole story. His providence is involved in all of the life that's recorded for us in the book of Esther. How could it be otherwise? What explanation would you have for this young woman to be where she is at the time that she is, to rise to the position of power as she does, that influences so many lives? How else could you explain it? It's the providence of God. God is not dead. He is alive. God always knows what He's doing. His plans never fail. Regardless of the way we see things, regardless of how we would like things to turn out, God has always been and will forever be in control. He's sovereign. And He has always worked in and through and used people who are vessels for honor to accomplish His purposes. And oh, how He used Esther. But He used Esther because Esther was a willing participant. I'm not saying she always saw it the way we see it from this side, reading it so long removed. But Esther participated. She had a part to play, and she played it willingly with great courage and conviction. You know the characters, I trust. Wicked Haman, who influences King Ahasuerus. Mordecai a Jew, who was very influential in raising Esther. He was kin to Esther. Influential in her life, in raising her. Mordecai put the issue online for Esther. He asked her to go to the king Ahasuerus and employ his favor and plead with him for her people. In Esther chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, then Esther summons one of the king's eunuchs, Esther 4 and verse 5, who was assigned to attend to her, and he ordered him to find out, or she ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. Mordecai told him, Esther 4 and verse 7, told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. That included Esther. It included Mordecai. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for the annihilation which had been published in Susa, to show Esther and to explain it to her. And he told him to urge Esther to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and to plead with him for her people. Now note, beginning in verse 9 of Esther 4. Esther 4 and verse 9. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. And then Esther instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law. that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and thereby spare his life. You see, Esther knows if Esther obeys Mordecai's report and request, she stood to risk everything, even her life. And so Mordecai then replies to Esther. Still in chapter 4, verse 13. Esther, do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you, Esther, and your father's family will perish. And who knows? Esther, who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this? Mordecai says several things here. One of the things Mordecai is saying is, Esther, listen, please understand, if you do nothing, don't think you will escape death. Don't think your family will escape death. You are a Jew, and because you're a Jew, you will die. Just because you're queen now, Esther, does not mean you will not die. And secondly, Esther, God is not limited to you. He can. And God will use someone else, Esther, if you refuse to stand up at this time in your life. Oh, but the but, or the therefore, or the who knows. He says that, Esther, who knows? But that you've come to the kingdom or a position of royalty for just this hour. And I hope I'm not abusing the text by taking somewhat of license here to say, Esther, who knows but that you might have been put here providentially by God for this to be your finest hour. But she had to do something. She had to say something. And that she did. Notice how Esther shows her true colors. They are brilliantly bold. Her words that are mixed with faith and courage. Esther chapter 4, now verse 15. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. And she says, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you will fast. And when this is done, Esther says, I will go to the king. I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther is determined now to make a difference by doing what she could do, no matter what the consequences might be to her personally. And in this situation, she says, if I die, I die. I'm sorry, brethren. And it may not be the case here, but in too many local churches, there are too many pews full of those who call themselves Christians who have watered down their convictions. Because when they're squeezed, when their faith is tested, when their loyalty is put on the line, they compromise, they change, they play the coward. Oh, I wish I could tell you I've never been guilty, but that's not so. We live in that kind of world.